who worshiped with us several years ago, worshiped for quite a while. Then he moved back home to South Carolina. When he went back there, he decided to attend a preaching school. Kingsbury Road School of Preaching.
Carolina School of Preaching.
There you go. And he said in our Bible class this morning, he said a few words about it. He said it's a four-year program in a two-year. 4 years of material in 2 years. So then he has now moved to Syracuse, New York. And there he's met this, he said, this young lady. He says, wow. Nikki King. So, and came back our way. And so we invited him to speak for us this morning. So, Matthew, come on up, if you would, brother. Anticipate, and I know we're going to enjoy the lesson, especially from the text that you just read. So, Amen. Anticipate some good things to you'll say.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Great to see each and every one of you. This lesson out of the book of Numbers would be a benediction that was given to the children of Israel. You know, I don't know how when the next time I'd be able to see you guys, but I thought that in regards to a lesson, such words need to be spoken to God's people. And on top of that, just the encouragement that we can receive from God's holy and divine word. Bless you. This phrase can be trivialized, such as a response when someone sneezes, or how about the word benediction? You know, this for you it may signal the end of a church service. I know Brother Anderson at that time he would usually interject, you know, they'd be ready for the sermon to be over with. But that's what a benediction is. You know, we're in this time of the year, it's graduation season, and at the end of that, there's that benediction given to that class to go out and to do their best. Well, it's the same thing with God's word. Here we see God leaves no stone unturned. Even with all the instructions that have been given to the children of Israel, the laws, guess what? He sends them off in good faith to seek and to do his will. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, Hebrews the third chapter, verses 1 through 5, it reminds us something. You know, here's Moses giving that speech to the children of Israel. And here, Hebrews 3, 1 through 6, I'm going to read. I'm reading from the New King James Version. The same here we need to think in the reference of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it reminds us, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses was also appointed faithful in all his house. The text that was read into your hearing, Numbers 6, 23 through 27, that charge was given to the high priest Aaron, and then Moses to what? Give that commencement to the children of Israel. But God reminds us that guess what? Here's a better house that we're in today. Brother Dennis made mention in the Lord's Supper that we are in a better covenant, better practices. You know, I don't have to bring a goat to service this morning to have Brother Anderson, you know, back in his gym barbecuing. That's what they did in the Old Testament. But we are in a better practices, better pretenses. Verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 3 says, for this one, speaking of Christ, has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. I think of this statement in that verse 5 right there. How can an atheist exist? You know, if you drop me on a middle of the Brazilian rainforest, and I don't care if the weeds have grown up around it, but I see some little shack put together, guess what? I know that some intelligent, another human, or something has been there. But the same thing with our world. We can look at the evidence of God all around us. The air we breathe, the flowers, the trees. As a matter of fact, I remember we went down south, I had to speak in South Carolina about a month ago, and it was 103 degrees out. And I was so enthralled to see a tree, and I could stand under it and get some shade. And I said, thank God that he said, but guess what? I would need a tree. But people, we don't think about those things. You know, that little seed plants this great bush or tree, and guess what? God gives you what you need in time. But man, so how can man look? That's why the Bible says in Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. So as we go through this lesson, hopefully, you will see the house that God has built. You will understand his commands, and you will want to do his will. Verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 3 says, but Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. First thing I want to look at is that the Lord loves to bless his children. God wants to bless you and I. Matter of fact, he even allows the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. But when we're talking about blessings in this physical realm, we're talking about God's favor and his protection over us. You know, I remember Brother Anderson always made the comment that I love God's providence. I'd rather have God's providence than a miracle. You know, the world wants miracles. You know, providence is, if I walk out this door and there's a bear coming that way, I go the opposite way and we don't meet. That's providence. A miracle, if I meet that bear, he eats me up, and then guess what? Brother Anderson has to pray over me and I come back to life. No, I don't want to go through the miracle. Let me have God's providence. But this is what we're talking about this morning. Lord wants to bless each and every one of his children. Ephesians chapter 1 and the verses 3. Ephesians chapter 1 and the verses 3. Where it tells us, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Spiritual blessings, that peace that surpasses all understanding. I remember being out here at the congregation and here at 10th Street and getting that news that my mother had breast cancer. And that peace that surpasses all understanding, I didn't know at the time, like, how was I going to be able to? It's not a cheap flight to get back home, for one thing. And then on top of that, you're taking care of life's expenses as it is. But just the encouragement that was given from brethren and sisters here to me and my sister who was out here, you know, that peace that surpasses all understanding is what kept me sane at the time. You know, sometimes each and every one of us are dealing with something on a personal basis. But you never know what that person, just because someone comes in here and smiles doesn't mean that they have a whole world of turmoil on the outside of these doors. But I thank God for the peace and the presence that was given to me here at this congregation as I studied and worshiped here with you as well. But in regards to the wonderful grace of God, grace is the merciful kindness of God. Grace that which affords joy, pleasure, delight, loveliness, something we could not pay for. You know, the Bible tells us in Titus chapter 2 that the grace that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. In that verse is talking about Christ teaching us how to deny ungodliness in this world and live for God. That grace is a portion of health that God has blessed us with this morning. Clothed in our right mind, food in our bellies, clothes on our back. You know, a job to earn an income that many get up and complain about. You know, I think about how, you know, everybody always says, oh, well, I have a case of the Mondays. No, you need to thank God for being able to get up and be able to go about your life and your day. I realize that when we focus on the negative, or we allow what the world would say, the case of the Mondays, you focus on that, guess what? Your day's not going to turn out right. You're going to find complications or impedances all throughout that day, and you're just going to be waiting for Monday to be over with. No, I always remind my brothers and sisters in Syracuse and wherever I go, you start your day off and you thank God for every little thing that you have. You know, the socks on your feet, a bed to lie in, food in your refrigerator. You know, it's easy to think that, oh, these little things, thanking God for, we let them go each and every day. But guess what? You don't want to have to be without them to remember that, wow, it was good to have a roof over my head. You know, I always think about Job chapter 1, verse 21. Where Job said, naked came I into this world, and naked shall I return. And he says that the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. all that tragedy that Job went through, guess what? He's still a different story. But I said, thank God today and continue to serve him and grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. That wonderful grace of God also extends mercy to each and every one of us. Mercy is when God doesn't give us what we do deserve. You know, each and every one of us deserves to be annihilated, to be sent to the pits of hell. You know, every day we fight this Christian fight. We go out into the world, you deal with a situation, and you may have to ask God for forgiveness because maybe a coworker didn't say something to you in the right tone. And then 100 thoughts come through your mind. And you have to say, you know what, Lord, forgive me for even thinking that thought. You know, I always remind people of Ephesians 6:10 that says to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. What do you mean? I'm not going to sit up and get in an argument with someone. You know, they're in a bad mood. They want to dump that negative energy here. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to smile, thank God for what I have, and continue to move on. Matter of fact, it confuses your enemy.
Yeah.
People don't know how to take you when they can bring you negative and you still be sweet and be nice to them. They think, oh, he got something up his sleeve now. No, I'm just serving a God that fights my battles. I think all about the movie. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Color Purple. And one of the statements was, she was like, you know, all my life I've had to fight. Well, when you're without God, guess what? You're doing the fighting on your own. And I pray that you allow God to come into your life, obey his will and his command, and let him fight your battles. I'm telling you, it's a lot better life when you're not fighting and trying to do what the world does. You know, the world pays might for right, you know, and I have one stick and I'm going to bring a bigger stick. No, I want to serve God and let him fight my battles and still be the change that I want to see in the world. But Paul understood God's grace and mercy. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and the verses are 12 through 16. And we're going to look at that Paul, he understood God's grace and mercy. And I'm keeping an eye on the clock.
Reach on, bro.
But Paul understood God's grace and mercy. And you know Paul's background. Just to sum it up for those who may not clearly know, but he was named Saul at one time, persecuting the church, did some ungodly things to God's people. And as a matter of fact, he had got some written orders to go out and to destroy more Christians if he found them in this way. And then that bright light that shined on him on the road to Damascus and knocked him down to his feet. And the Lord said, you know, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And in that, Saul's response at that time was, who is it, Lord, that I persecute? And people don't realize when they touch God's children, guess what? God takes that personally. Mm-hmm. And I take soul consolation in that. The battles that I go through in my life, you know, those are temporary. You're going to be fine. You know, that's what the world does. You have to chalk it up to that's what the world does and how the world acts. And you let God fight your battles because guess what? When you take that person or that situation to God in prayer, you just know that God will answer and he'll take care of his children. But Paul understood God's grace and mercy. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, in the verses 12 through 16, Paul says, the Holy Spirit through Paul writes, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. He had on orders to pull women, men, and children, if they claimed that Jesus, that guess what, they would destroy them. Matter of fact, if you know secular history, you know about how the Jews persecuting the church, they would turn these people over to the Roman Empire. And Rome took them into that Colosseum and sent bears and lions and just for sport against these people. But guess what? They did not deny the faith. You know, I take so much consolation in God's word that those who endured those harshities of those times, and guess what? Delivered this world, this word was still delivered to us today. You know, people aren't going to go to a Colosseum and with gladiators or what have you, and wild animals and to follow a lie. You know, I always think about the Watergate scandal. I think it was 8 men. And it was said within 30 minutes, those 8 men, when they found out what was, you know, when the president fell and all of them, they gave up that story. I'm not going to go down for a lie. You know, the same thing if me and Clarence are riding down the street and he says he wants to rob a bank and the cops pull behind us, but guess what? He'll be in the car by himself. But the same thing here, but God's word, We can have sole confidence in God's word. And guess what? Those that have stood the time have not denied the faith. And this day, the same word that they had has been delivered to. But as Paul continues, verse 13 says, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I can think about my thoughts when I wasn't serving God, doing what was right in His sight. I've been doing things ignorantly in unbelief, you know. But here, God, even with Paul, gives him this opportunity to what? Obey Him. Verse 14, in the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant. You know what that means? God's grace is overflowing. No matter how bad that you think you've sinned against God, guess what? God still will receive you into His fold. All He needs you to do is repent and obey His will. Be baptized in that watery grave of baptism and have your sins washed away. God receives us all. Even we as Christians, when we fall short, we're given instructions. Guess what? How to restore that relationship with God. God doesn't want any of us to perish. And I think about this, the mercifulness of God. It says, Paul says here in verse 14 that God's grace is exceeding and abundant. You know what that means? That's overflowing. That's like you needing a glass of ice water. You're in the desert thirsting, and all of a sudden, God doesn't just fill the glass up one time. He just allows it to overflow, and you drink as much as you need. That's how God, how merciful He is to us. And the verse continues, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You know, we can compare our lives. I'll let Paul say he's the chief of sinners. I'll let him take that title. You know, we can all sit up here and probably think about, as we look over our life, the things that God has delivered us from. And then Paul here, himself taking the lives of men, women, and children. You know, you remember the account of Stephen, and actually preached to the Sanhedrin. They didn't like what they hear. And what did they do? They laid Stephen's coat at this man's feet, Saul, as they stoned him to death. And Stephen, in that heart, to God, he said, "What? Don't deliver this charge unto them." But here, Paul, he can look over his life and just see where God has brought him from. This morning, we need to have that same mindset. You know, look at where God has brought us from, where he's bringing, where He's taking us to. And the same thing here with Paul, but we need to have that same internal thought as we go throughout our day. Verse 1 says, however, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. Now, I want to ask you about this pattern that Paul is talking about. Was it receive Him into your heart? You know, or a terror for the Holy Spirit? Was it to put my hand on the radio and sit and repeat this prayer? No. Those are things that were brought into the minds of men that men have conjured up. But Paul said there was a pattern that God had given him. You know what Paul did? I always remind people, on that road to Damascus, he was told to go into that city, and you wait there, and it'll be told you what you must do to be saved. Then he sent a brother from the Church of Christ, Ananias, from the Lord's church, sent him unto him to preach to him the gospel. After Ananias continued that after he finished that preaching to Paul, in Acts 22, verse 16, you know what he said? He says, what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and have your sins washed away. Paul was on his knees for 3 days praying, but guess what? He was still in his sins. It wasn't until he obeyed the gospel that, guess what, his sins was washed away. The Lord added him to His church, and then Paul, he was now a child of God. Verse 17 says, now to the King eternal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4, and the verse is 13, that there is no name given under heaven that by how we must be saved. It's by Christ Jesus. Now you think about that. To that King that is immortal, invisible. All this, the titles that have been given to Christ, why would I want to follow anyone but God? We need to seek God while He still can be found. The third point, His countenance upon you. as was read into the book of Numbers, where he says that the Lord lifts his countenance upon us. Let me go back to that passage. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 and following says, and I'm back in the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 6, the scripture that was read into your hearing, starting in verse 22 says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The Lord lifting up his countenance upon you is when God smiles upon us. In our vernacular, that's what it means, that he smiles upon us. So he looks down, God looks down from heaven, sees your faithful service that seemingly goes unrecognized, and guess what? He blesses each and every one of us. You know, a lot of times it's not monetary. But it could be for your health. It's a family issue you're dealing with. However God works that situation out that you've been praying about. You know, that's what it's about, continuing to keep serving God and allow him to smile upon us. Look also at Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, in regards to how God smiles upon his children. Matthew chapter 6, and the verses are 1 through 6. Matthew chapter 6, and the verses 1 through 6 says, take heed that you do not your charitable deeds before men to seem. I apologize, that's the wrong passage. But we'll continue on with this. Take heed that you do not your charitable deeds before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound the trumpet before, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, and they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, and they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Here God shows that he wants that personal relationship with each and every one of us. We don't do things to be seen of men. All things that we do, like I went through about, you know, that work that seems that go unnoticed. You know, nobody remembers that, you know, toilet paper needs to be in the restroom until you hash out the floor. I'm not going to wait till I get the attention of Brother Jim and Brother Dennis before I come wrap her off the floor. Those little things that we may take to be trivial, but God looks down and he smiles upon us. Guess what? His child is doing what we need to do to bring him pleasure in this life. To reach out and teach someone. In the book of Matthew, as we were studying right now, so many times that phrase comes up that Jesus looked on a multitude with compassion. The same thing we need to do here. Look on the multitude with compassion. When you go out into this world, guess what? There's people hurting in their lives. They're looking for God. They've been told a bunch of stuff. The devil has done his work and he's done it well in regards to confusing people and trying to steer them away from God. But you know what God has in this world to straighten this out? He has this word and he has you and I. You know, make that personal relationship. Reach out and invite someone to service. You know, I brought up this morning about Diane's mother, Jean. Very monumental in turning my ship around. I came here on a Wednesday evening trying to get my life back in order, knowing I was out there living, doing things which weren't right. And I had never met you guys before in my life. And all of a sudden, I was going out, Brother Volley and Brother Orby were back there talking, and I was headed out. I think I grabbed a couple of tracks, and I really hadn't spoken to too many people. And all of a sudden, I'm walking, and just, you know, in your natural gait of walk, your hand goes back like this, and something caught my hand, and that was Jean's hand and mine. And she just wanted to know who I was and where I was from. And we sat up there and talked for a minute, and she walked me around the building, and she got me to greet everyone, to see, to see each and every one of you. And I just think about how poignant and monumental that was, because that just showed that someone cared. Showed that she just extending God's love. That's how God shows his love, is that we can be that extension of his love to a lost and dying world. That's why I encourage you. I know people will say, well, you door knock or you go give somebody some literature, they're not going to read it. But guess what? You've done your part. You've planted the seed. As Paul says, one plants and another waters, but it's God who grants the end. Or anything I've done, I just thank God that he's given me that opportunity, as Paul says, that he counted me faithful and worthy to be put into the ministry. And what that is, that's service. And we all should feel that same being counted worthy of doing God's will. Lastly, Psalm 119, in regards to the Lord lifting up his face upon us and smiling upon us, Psalm 119, starting in verse 132, Psalm 119, verse 132 says, "Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is toward those who love your name. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes." You think about the word of God. The word of God is the only transforming tool into the man, in the hearts of men in this world. Matter of fact, it's banned in 52 countries. I always remind people, you don't ban Peter Pan or Harry Potter. In those countries where they ban the Bible, they won't ban those books, because why? You don't ban a fairy tale. If there was nothing to God's word, it wouldn't be that, it would have opposition. Why? Because this is the only book that looks into each and every one of us and tells us that, guess what? We need to change to be right with God. And I pray this morning, thinking about Jesus, the Son of God, what he has given to man, that we may be rich. And you think about the things that our Lord suffered. In Isaiah 52, at the end of that chapter, it says that in the end of that chapter of Isaiah 52, it talks about that they extolling him, presenting him in that crucifixion just to see what, the hate that the world had for the truth. In Isaiah 53, it talks about this Savior, that how that he grew up as a tender root, and no one, we didn't want him because of his comeliness. He wasn't this statuesque person that's been painted and delivered to mankind. I always think about that crucifixion of Christ, of how they took our Lord and Savior. They brought him in by trial by night. They spat upon him, blindfolded him, punched him in his face, and they said, "Prophesy unto us which one of us that did it." The things that Jesus said, that endured for our sake on that road to Golgotha. You think about him, Simon the Cyrene, having to help him carry that cross. Him falling down under the weight of it. And then they talk about how they beat him till his flesh hung like ribbons on his back. All the things that Christ endured for us, but guess what? He didn't open his mouth one time to justify himself or try to argue his plight. But he went to that cross for you and I. I think about how Brother Anderson so poignantly puts it, where he says, that Christ, heaven gave us its best, and Christ gave us his, on that road to Golgotha, to Calvary's Hill, he gave his back to that Roman scourge. On his back, and then they tore it from his back. In Matthew chapter 27. You think about it. You know what happens when you get a cut on your arm and you put a cloth band-aid on it. And then you all of a sudden that thing dries a little bit. And it takes an act of Congress for me to get it off. Why? Because it hurts that much. But they didn't even give our Lord and Savior the respect of him being the Son of God. The same Son of God that is when he was in that garden and Peter cut off the high priest's servant's ear. He told Peter, "Put your sword back up. Think of not that I can call down 12 legions of angels." He's going to destroy the world. But guess what? In humility, in service to God, He did God's will, and he went to that cross for you and I, opening that door. You need to think on those things, that, you know, all that he went through. I always tell people, you know, a mother saw her child beat to death that day, hung on a cross, his hands and then his feet also to those nails, his back to that Roman scourging, his face to dirty human spittle, his head to a crown of thorns, and his life was given for you and I. I hope you're encouraged to seek benediction as you obey his will, to guess what? That he smiles upon you. That the Lord bless you and keep you. And the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That peace that surpasses all understanding. Because guess what? Now when I obey God, I don't have to fight my own battles. The Bible simply tells us in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. God says, though your sins be as red as scarlet, they can be as white as wool. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. No one knows what to do until we are given instruction. But God said, guess what? Faith, if you won't trust in him, which is faith, guess what? It comes by the hearing of his word. John 8, 24, Jesus says, except you believe that I am he, you would all likewise perish. And belief is more than just mental ascension, just not accepting Jesus into your heart, but it's about obeying his will. That's why Jesus says, well, I call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say. Matter of fact, the Bible even warns us in Matthew 7 that there will be many on that day that will say unto me, Lord, have we not done all these many wonderful works? And what did Jesus say? He says, depart from me, for I never knew you. He said, only but those that do the will of his Father, which is in heaven. And I want to tell you what the will of God is. God first, you've heard that message. You must believe that message. You know, the world, they'll tell you who Jesus is, but we need to be just like those disciples in Matthew chapter 16, where it was asked of them, you know, who do men say that I am, but who do you say that I am? You know, the Muslims will tell you that Jesus is just another prophet. The Buddhists, they'll tell you he's just an enlightened mind or a great teacher. The Jehovah's Witnesses, they'll tell you that, guess what, he's Michael the Archangel incarnated in flesh. But who do you say that I am? As Jesus asked his disciples. And he says, and Peter's answering for that group, says, thou art the Christ, the anointed one of God. And he lets them know that, and Jesus told him that flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you. From that belief, it calls one to repent. Repentance is turning from the world and turning to God. I'm tired of doing things my way, and I want to do things your way, Lord. I don't want to do the things the way of the world. I want to do your way. In Luke 13, verse 3, the Bible says, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. And also in Acts 17, verse 30, the Bible reminds us that in the ignorance of man in times past, God winked at some things. He allowed them to go. But he commanded men everywhere today to repent, turn from the world, turn from self, and turn to God. And the Bible also reminds us in 2 Peter 3, that guess what? God is long-suffering. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. I always remind at this point our brothers and sisters in Christ, when God talks about that long-suffering and wanting people to come to the knowledge of the truth, guess what? He has you and I in our personal relationships with people. Everyone in this room will meet someone that Dennis knows people I don't know. Jim knows people I don't know. Brother Anderson knows people I don't know. Guess what? We need to be those tentacles going out to give truth to someone. They reject it, that's fine, but you've done your will. But from that repentance, God, we make that faithful confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. It brought him death, but it'll bring you life. And we can make that faithful confession that Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father and all the angels in heaven. You know, if you be ashamed of me, confession, we are a candidate. We can go down into the watery grave of baptism where our sins are washed away. We're added to his church, and we can walk in newness of life. As Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says, that we can be raised in the resurrection just like he is. We want to be in that glorious resurrection where that old man is left in that watery grave of baptism, and then we are that new creature in God. From that, we need to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just coming up out of the water is not enough. Yeah, you've obeyed God, but we need to grow in grace and knowledge. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, who is blessed forever and ever. Amen. And then from that, we live faithfully unto death. Revelation 2, verse 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. This morning, you've heard God's word. I know we all love blessings, and I pray that you consider in your heart, if you have not obeyed the word of God, that you seek to do his will. That you seek to want to come out of the world, come out of self, and come to God. And those are the avenue. You've heard his word. You must believe that message. You must repent. And then from repentance, make that faithful confession. Go down into the watery grave of baptism. From there, grow in grace and knowledge. And then you live faithfully unto death.